This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at orderzona.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're with Layla Mute, who's our nutritionist in residence. We work together on a daily basis here in our offices in New York City. And it's a beautiful day in midsummer, and we're okay doing this because this is fun, but yeah. It'd be nice to be out there and playing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
Can
sunny.
We do that?
Yeah. Recess in about 25 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Right. But meanwhile, we've got some great questions to tackle, so let's do that.
Yeah, we have an email from Charlie. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I've been taking glucosamine chondroitin for many years as prevention for osteoarthritis. The new kid on the block is hydrolyzed collagen powder. Someone who claims knowledge told me that the collagen powder trumps glucosamine chondroitin and that I should just do the collagen. Your valued opinion, please.
Well, I think I like all three. Yeah, right?
I like all three.
Yeah, the research on glucosamine chondroitin, some people claim that there's now research that says that it's worthless. But actually, when you look at that research, maybe in a couple of studies, the results were not as positive as one might expect or disappointing, but in other studies, the results are quite good. So I actually think it's better for prevention of osteoarthritis
yes.
than for treatment of advanced. You know, if you're bone on bone, it's not going to make things grow back.
I remember we were talking about the GUIDE trial, acronym GUIDE, which I don't remember what it stands for, and the GATE
right.
trial.
Mm-hmm.
And they extensively tested glucosamine chondroitin and found definite and significant benefits.
Right.
And I think part of why they saw that result is they used proper dosages.
Right.
So much scientific research, they're not using
optimal
doses.
Right.
They're using doses where you would prevent a deficiency.
Right.
Which is nowhere in the realm of
treatment. Yeah, so I take about 2,000 to 2,500 glucosamine, and let's see, it's 1,500 to 6,000, and about, so,
yeah.
No. I take, right, 2,000 to 2,200 of glucosamine. So each capsule is let's see, it's usually 500 to 300 ratio, is that about right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I believe in both glucosamine mm-hmm. and chondroitin, and I take a little higher than the recommended dose for my height and weight.
Mm.
And, knock wood, every time I get out there and run, and I kind of go, I do a little check-in, let's see, knees, okay, feet and ankles, okay, hips, okay, I'm good to go.
That's great. You could add hydrolyzed collagen powder. Please get good quality. You could add it into a soup or a smoothie. Or, coming back to the topic of bone broth again, you could get
And, another way to get it is with a product that's a little more expensive and targeted. It's UC2, undenatured collagen type 2.
Yeah.
Don't forget anti-inflammatory nutrients like curcumin, boswellin.
Fish oils. There's a
William Kaufman protocol that looks at niacinamide, higher doses of niacinamide for knee osteoarthritis. So these are some of the things that are helpful.
I have a theory that we have more osteoarthritis because nobody's doing home cooking anymore.
Okay.
They're not making their own soups
and
stews. These are sources of collagen.
Okay.
Which is very, very beneficial for joint and cartilage health. And I think this might have something. Well, that and the standard American diet, which is the SAD diet,
and
that doesn't help anything.
And just obesity, overweight.
And obesity.
Joints. There's weight on the joints, but also just the pro-inflammatory effects of carrying excess weight, that create. So the finger arthritis you have, it's not because you're walking on your knuckles, unless you're a gorilla, of which Yeah, maybe you have a couple of relatives who are like that, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, Charlie.
Knuckle draggers.
Knuckle draggers.
You have knuckle draggers in your family? No.
Glucosamine and chondroitin are wonderful, and you could get some hydrolyzed collagen powder or make your own broths and drink them like you would a mug of coffee, a mug of tea.
Okay.
Once, maybe twice a day. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Little caveat, though, about bone broth.
Yes.
For those who have
histamine intolerance.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah.
On the avoid list.
It's a trigger, yeah.
For histamine.
Right.
So, there you go. That could be something.
Right. Gravies and those kind of things that are rich in, why is it, they're rich in tyramine, right?
Rich in tyramine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's that kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And of course, with histamine, also avoiding leftovers, or leftovers that have been in the fridge too long. And too long means anything past 2 days for somebody on a low histamine diet. 3 days for the rest of us.
I have some leftover asparagus, and it was very good.
I have asparagus in my fridge, too.
Right.
Yeah.
We grilled it, and so it's...
That's great. Okay, Charlie, hope that answers your question. Elena writes, hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My husband recently had lab testing on 2 subsequent days at 2 separate locations. While there were slight differences in certain lab values, his 25-hydroxy vitamin D test results were shockingly different.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. The first facility was a 70, and the other facility showed it to be a 49.
Yeah.
What would account for this disparity in such a short time frame?
And that is, you know, the one time that I've appeared with a full photograph in the New York Times was when I was interviewed by the Times.
Uh-huh.
And then they sent a photographer over for me to talk about the great vitamin D scandal, which was, this is in the 90s, I believe, or the early 2000s. When it was revealed that there were vast discrepancies in vitamin D testing between the labs. And some of the big commercial labs were having problems doing it right.
Yeah.
And so they, because, I don't know, they thought I was an expert on vitamin D. And, you know, actually, I had been doing vitamin D testing in my own laboratory since, I think we started in the, goodness, we started in the 80s.
Yes.
We started in the 80s. I had a old-fashioned... RIA, you know, which you had to use a radioactive isotope in those days, which you had to get a special license for, and you had to have one of those nuclear signs over the lab, made it look like Chernobyl, and you know, and so we laboriously did that because commercial labs didn't have that ability. So then the commercial lab said, "Hey, this is a popular test. We can make a lot of money because a lot of people are interested in vitamin D." They just didn't get it right, and so I don't think it's about on that day you took vitamin D, another day you didn't, or you were a little under the weather that day, or you had eaten something. It is a major wobble in the lab error.
Yeah,
that is,
so it's lab error,
yes,
Elena.
Yeah.
That's what you're seeing there. I do have to say, his numbers, one was a 70, one was a 49. These are nice levels.
At least there's not
whichever
a
one
vast
is correct.
Contradiction. It'll be more puzzling if one was 18 and the other was 50.
Mm.
Because on the one hand, basically, you know, you have either pretty good vitamin D or really, really nice in the zone vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
So but if you had an 18 and a 50, it'd be like either it's too low or it's just right.
Mm. Yeah. I remember first coming to work for you in 2005, and I got on the vitamin D bandwagon. I said, well, what's my level? What's my level?
Yeah.
Having never taken vitamin D and slathering on the sunblock like every other woman my age was doing, at least at the time, it was a 13.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, we call that an emergency.
Right, right.
Yeah. So.
And this is a trained registered dietitian.
Yeah.
You know, right.
Yeah. This is when before vitamin D was even
involved.
Coming upon.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a fascinating observation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what it really brings up, and we just talked about the thyroid tests, is if you get a lab test that you think is really weird or whacked out, it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
Before you go down that primrose path towards suspecting all kinds of horrible disease entities,
Repeat
the test.
Yes.
And
the test could be wrong.
As often as not. You know, people have... the public has so much more faith in these tests than I do, as a physician who's seen so many errors and mix-ups and, you know, poor quality testing. So that, we did this with a guy recently. A guy had a profile. He said, I can't understand. I've taken all these vitamins. And then I did this test, and it says that this and this and this are low. And I repeated the test with a different lab, and we found that those things were fine.
Oh.
Didn't you remember that case? That was, Mr. We can't say the name.
Yeah.
I said, you know, who's before you lab? Go, he says, I can't understand it because I'm taking all this stuff. And it's like, before you draw the conclusion that you're not absorbing, let's retest.
Mm-hmm.
And then according to another test, it was fine.
Yeah.
So,
It's standard practice to test if something is out of range. Like if you see a high potassium on somebody, which can be potentially dangerous, get it tested again.
People think that lab testing is really easy, but each lab test is like baking a cake. It really is. It involves steps, and it involves preparation, and it involves mixing ingredients and incubating requisite temperature. And if those things are done sloppily by some sleepy lab tech, because it's all done overnight by these vampires, basically. In the day they draw the blood, they bring it to these labs, and these night technicians basically are in charge of these labs at night to do the process, the things. And, you know, mistakes can be made.
Yeah, and I think many
can be mixed up, you know.
Many lab techs may be incentivized to, the more you get done, the higher your pay. If they're overworked or they're trying to jam too many results in a short period of time.
I've even seen, you know, where they have these kits, and, you know, it's like, the kit's good for 20 tests. And they say, darn, you know, these kits are expensive. Let's see if we can get 30 tests out of that.
Mm.
And nobody will be any the wiser. And what happens then is maybe you're using a diluent. I mean, we just had this thing with, what was the name of the big scandal with that lab where they were doing the finger stick blood tests, and they're now indicting this woman. You know, it's the startup that, you know, where they bilked people.
Theranos.
And her name was Elizabeth whatever.
Yeah.
And here's this you know, doe-eyed blonde woman who was so charismatic and had, wore the black turtlenecks like Steve Jobs. And she was going to revolutionize the lab business. And basically, it was a chop shop where they, you know, in the back room, they were running these lab tests that were vastly erroneous and putting people at tremendous risk because they were giving spurious results, and it was, fraud.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Okay. Good point at which to pause, because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with you. So please listen up.
Do you want to manage your blood pressure without medication? I have some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. So effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141. Or orderzona.com. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company's offering you $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation, the Zona Plus, at orderzona.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. So now back to our questions, Layla. What's next?
We've got an email from Gary. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. And he's talking about an article in Life Extension, phages improve intestinal and immune health.
P-H-A-G-E-S, phages.
Yes. And this is from Life Extension.
The word is from Greek, which means to eat. So like they're
phagocytes
in the blood. Yeah, they eat. They eat up debris and they eat up invaders and things.
Think Pac-Man.
Right. But there are what are called bacteriophages, mm-hmm. which are viruses that attach to bacteria.
Yes, yes. Right. So according to Gary, Life Extension says that phage technology or bacteriophages reduce harmful bacteria in the gut, thus augmenting or paving the way for probiotics or beneficial bacteria.
Okay.
He says, as it happens, I stumble upon some notes I made about golden seal root powder, which, it is said, does essentially the same thing, kills harmful bacteria in the gut,
right.
while at the same time being friendly to healthy bacteria. And this from the toxin solution by Dr. Joseph Pizzorno.
Sure.
Wonder what you think at this point in time.
Okay. Well, I speak to this phage technology thing, which is actually interesting, is that for a while we were using something in the 80s called SPL, staph phage lysate, mm-hmm. which means it was a ground up inactivated form of a virus which could eat up bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed as an immunostimulant. And it's used a lot in veterinary medicine. I'm not sure if it's still used today as to stimulate immunity. And actually, there's some cancer research that's going on with staph, with phages, to see, or, you know, maybe maybe also as a way of supplementing antibiotics, because it actually helps in a more natural way to kill the bacteria. Anyway, I don't know where they're coming from with Life Extension there. Maybe they've got a product that they're about to tee off on mm-hmm. that involves that concept. But, you know, there's not a lot of similarity between phages and golden seal.
Yeah.
Except that both tend to suppress bacteria.
Yeah.
That's what they have in common.
I mean, in a common cold remedy, an herbal formula, you would find echinacea coupled with golden seal,
it's
for example.
It's berberine is the natural. It's an antimicrobial.
Ah. Okay.
You find it mostly in Oregon grapefruit these days because golden seal is going to be kind of endangered species. So Oregon grapefruit has high levels of berberine. And what ends up happening when people take berberine is they get a little constipated sometimes. And that's because it kills off the bacterial proliferation. So it's good for SIBO, small intestine
it's
bacterial
great for
overgrowth.
SIBO.
We have a product called Candibactin BR,
yes.
which the B stands for berberine, and it has a high concentration of berberine.
Mm-hmm.
Which suppresses SIBO.
And berberine, historically, has been used in diarrhea, intractable diarrhea, especially, I believe, in Chinese medicine.
So, for a long time, that's what I thought berberine was for. People mm-hmm. would say, you know, what do you use for berberine? I say, well, I use it for IBS-D, the diarrhea-predominant IBS. You know, mm-hmm. if you have, like, or if you have an infectious diarrhea, maybe consider taking berberine mm-hmm. instead of taking Cipro. But then it turns out it has some really powerful anti-diabetic effects.
Yes.
And that may be in part mediated in the gut.
Yeah.
Because we know, for example, that metformin, which is another diabetes medication, works to some extent by changing the flora.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
interesting.
Berberine is a anti-diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
It actually has more reputation now as a anti-diabetic agent. We use the product CM Core,
yes.
which is high in berberine for mm-hmm. diabetes.
High in berberine, I believe there's some chromium there. So when you couple that, you've got a good blood sugar lowering, stabilizing effect.
Okay. And CM stands for cardiometabolic, you know, like for the metabolic syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Gary, for your question. So, We've got a question here from David. My surgeon says to stop fish oil before surgery. Will it really increase my risk for bleeding?
I did an article about supplements for surgery recently.
Yeah.
And specifically, I looked at that question.
Mm-hmm.
So And I actually came up with some pretty convincing studies that said that fish oil was inconsequential when it came to surgical bleeding.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can pull them up momentarily while you read the rest of the question.
Yeah. Well, apparently there are three studies, or four, cited here. Studies supporting the safety of EPA and DHA before and after invasive procedures.
Right.
In 2007, Harris, an eminent cardiac researcher.
Oh, you did the homework
published,
on this?
Yeah, published a review.
Okay, I'm just going to look it up now.
Looked at 19 clinical studies involving 4,387 surgical patients who were taking fish oil in doses ranging from 1 to 21 grams a day. In 14,
21 grams a day?
It says 21. I'm not misreading this, am I? No.
God, can you imagine?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, in, that is literally taking 20 pills a day.
That's a lot. In 14 of the trials, fish oil was administered 1 and 42 days prior to surgery, and in 5 other studies, postoperatively. His review concluded that the risk for bleeding was, quote, virtually non-existent.
Okay, and while we're trading studies, I got one here, and it's from 2017.
Hmm.
It's from a Danish medical journal.
Yes.
You know, they ought to know about fish oil, right? It's like it's their national product.
Hmm.
You know, it's like reading a Swiss study on cocoa. Or reading a Japanese study on soy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no impact of fish oil supplements on bleeding risk. A systematic review. They looked at 52 studies,
mm-hmm.
and fish oil supplements reduced platelet aggregation in healthy subjects, which is good. You know, it has an anti-blood clotting effect.
Yeah.
But this biochemical effect was not reflected in increased bleeding risk during or after surgery evaluated in randomized controlled trials.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, this systematic review does not support the need for discontinuation of fish oil supplements prior to surgery or other invasive procedures.
Yeah.
Plus, there are actually benefits to fish oil because, you know, when you get surgery, one of the things they do, and, you know, because when I broke my leg and they came in and they gave me some shots in my abdomen, and I said, you know, what is that? And she said, well, that's heparin. That's because when you have trauma, any kind of, whether it's, you know, and I had trauma, I had a broken hip after a bike accident, but also deliberately inflicted trauma, which is surgery, and you're lying in bed and you're not moving, you're at very high risk for blood clots.
Yes.
So you want actually something on board that has an antithrombotic effect.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to take aspirin during surgery, because then you'll really have a lot of bleeding. I'll have trouble stopping the bleeding.
Yeah.
But, it says fish oil exposure in surgical patients did not increase bleeding or blood transfusions either during or after surgery, blah, 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 blah. This systematic review does not support the need for discontinuation of fish oil supplements prior to surgery or other invasive procedures.
Mm.
And I know you have other studies if you want.
Yeah. In fact, in May 2014, a lack of clinically significant bleeding risk was corroborated by Wakira et al., who performed an extensive review on the effect of monotherapy fish oil supplementation or in combination with antithrombotic medicine in a wide variety of clinical settings, including surgery. The researchers then summarized that fish oil supplementation in either monotherapy or in combination therapy settings did not cause increased clinically significant bleeding. Thus, the need for discontinuation of fish oil supplementation is not supported.
Bingo. Huh. I mean, we're seeing a lot of studies to that effect. So
that's interesting.
Now, why do you think doctors persist in this belief?
Because they haven't read this. They haven't done their homework.
Haven't done their homework. And there's a bias.
Yes.
There's an inherent bias.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, if a doctor, I mean, I'm pretty sure that if there's a new surgical technique or if there's a new development in anesthesia, that they're going to be on top of that because they believe that's in their wheelhouse.
Yes.
But so many people are taking fish oil and they dissuade them from taking fish oil. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, there is one instance where I suggest that women who take fish oil during pregnancy, which is very good,
mm-hmm.
that they discontinue fish oil, you know, when they're about to deliver. And it's not for the risk of bleeding, although, you know, it's a bloody thing. And, you know, hemorrhage is an issue.
It's because you want the labor to progress.
Yeah, there's something about fish oil and delayed parturition. I'm going to Google that right now.
I imagine that pregnant women who are ready to deliver should also be advised to avoid or at least greatly lower their dose of magnesium for the same reason. Because I believe magnesium is administered to women who go into premature labor in an effort to slow it or stop it. So,
I'll see if I can get anything on that, if there's anything written on that.
Yeah. There is actually another study coming back to the...
Well, here it is. You know, yeah. They say, in combined trials, fish oil delayed spontaneous delivery. It delayed parturition in women receiving fish oil. Hmm. So, effects of fish oil supplementation in late pregnancy and blood pressure. No, that's not right. Yeah. But on the one hand, it prevents recurrent preterm birth, which is important. You don't want a prematurity.
Right.
It's helpful for preventing prematurity, but conversely, you know, some women, once they reach a certain point, they want to induce them, and you'd rather have natural labor.
Yeah. Yeah. So, to answer that question, my surgeon says to stop fish oil before surgery. You don't have to. But again, that one study that I quoted here, 1 to 21 grams a day, that's really something. I'm trying to think, what kind of medical condition might require a dose that high? Would it be depression?
I don't know.
That's a very high dose. Would it be...
Yeah.
Acute arthritis?
No, I don't know. It's just odd.
I can't imagine.
I never have patients take that much.
Yeah. Or that could be the outlier of the range of dosages that they looked at that got included into this particular study. So this is all very interesting. There was another study in 2012, and if fish oil would increase intraoperative blood loss and postoperative bleeding complications during lumbar decompression surgery. And patients who had taken fish oil within 14 days of surgery were compared to a control group who stopped fish oil intake an average of 2.3 days before surgery. And the authors concluded that the preoperative use of the fish oil did not increase bleeding complications during spinal decompression surgery.
Wow.
And the authors also stated, and I quote, "Our study corroborates findings from investigations in other surgical specialties that suggest preoperative omega-3 fatty acids is not associated with increased risk of intraoperative or postoperative bleeding." There's a lot of evidence here.
So, you know, what I'm reading here is this actually is a study of the effects of fish oil in preterm births, and they found it very helpful in terms of preventing, preterm births, prematurity, which is always, you know, which is really bad for a baby to be born too early because often there are problems, you know, they have to be in the ICU and special care, and they often develop, you know, adult problems, maybe lung problems, or, it's nasty. So you want to prevent that.
Yeah.
So, neurological problems, you know, in the past, more so now than with the better techniques. But possible adverse effects and rates of serious complications. More post-term deliveries occurred in the fish oil group with a relative risk of 2.4. In other words, 2.4-fold higher post-term deliveries. Not pre-term, but post-term. Okay? So that's, you know.
Interesting.
And I don't think it's that well established, but that's my advice to pregnant women. And until further notice, I'm going to say, keep taking it right through, you know, month 8, but about, you know, 3 weeks before delivery, stop taking it.
Yeah.
I have one of our patients delivering, scheduled to deliver July 21st, and I said, you know, take it through the 4th of July and then stop.
Great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
And then, you know, maybe the baby will get one less graduate degree. You know, it's like you'll save another couple hundred thousand dollars. You know?
There you go.
But, you know, you want a really smart baby, give him fish oil. Okay, well, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Thanks, Layla,
for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
Yes, remember to check out our website at drhoffman.com. Presumably, many of you have already visited because you're listening to this podcast. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Subscribe to our newsletter and shop via FullScript, which you can find under the drop-down menu at drhoffman.com. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.